think it's going to be bad. I think it's going to be only worse for the people there. They're already prey to the cartels who, you know, hang around and try to grab them and use them for trafficking. So it's a real problem.
Hey, Linda, this is Jenna here in the air room, and we got to be wrapping it up, so I just want to give you the last 30 seconds there.
Okay, great. Well, thank you. I really appreciate that, Jenna, for keeping me on time there. I want to say there's one thing that you can do, all of you listeners out there, and I so appreciate all of you, and I know the rest of our audience appreciates hearing from you. There is this GEM Immigrant Family Support Fund run by that came out of Gorge Ice Resistance. It's GEM, G-E-M, that stands for Gorge Ecumenical Ministry, and their website is gorgeem.org. So that's GORGEEM.org. They are getting funds to the family. So this fund's been used to pay utilities, rent, car insurance for families that are locked up there. For $25, you can get a person a month's worth of phone calls. And so this is all direct support to immigrant families and immigrants who are locked up in Northport. So if you feel like you want to take some direct action, you can do that. And once again, it's GORGEEM.org. That's GorgeGEM.org. And thank you all for listening. And now we'll go back to new programming.
And you are listening to KBOO Portland. The time is 10 o'clock, or 9 o'clock. I'm trying to get myself right there, right on the dot. We hope you're doing well this morning. Coming up next is Press Watch with Teresa Mitchell. Teresa is calling in this morning and doing the remote hosting. I'm sure so many of you can relate a bit about the remote part. So stay tuned. That's Press Watch here at 9 a.m. And Press Watch, of course, we'll probably be taking your calls. We'll see. We'll have to check in with Teresa. But first, before we get to that, this from KBOO.
You are listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM, listener-supported community radio.
At KBOO, we think that all communities deserve to be fully informed on the policies and decisions that will impact their lives, and we need your help to make that happen. We're looking for citizen journalists to help collect, report, and broadcast the news. Do you think that there are groups that are underrepresented or marginalized by the mainstream media? Are you aware of social, political, or environmental activities that don't have adequate visibility? Are there important issues in your town or region that aren't getting coverage? This is your chance to give a voice to the voiceless. You don't have to have experience, and you don't have to come into KBOO's Portland studio. You can contribute from wherever you live. If you have some basic writing skills and a desire to get the word out, we want you. Just send an email with your idea and contact information to newsdirector, that's all one word, newsdirector@kboo.fm, and include the words citizen journalist in the subject line, and the news team will contact you. Once again, send that email to newsdirector@kboo.fm.
That is the Press Watch theme music, which can mean only one thing, that Teresa Mitchell must be on the line. Teresa, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
All right, Teresa, take it away.
Thank you so much. And, well, this is Press Watch, a weekly counter-propaganda and left-opinion program here on your people-supported free radio station, KBOO Portland. And I am Teresa Mitchell. Join me for a brief peek behind the video veil of monopoly media manipulation and an examination of the news you're not supposed to know. I had to improvise, as we all have, and had to get a second set of headphones because my cat ate the ones I was using. And I've noticed from watching TV that a lot of people are remotely using their headphones. It's just one of the adjustments that we have done over this over the duration, capital D. And I'm particularly proud of KBOO for creating, maintaining, and I'm just so happy that the staff and volunteers, management, and our engineer were able to put together a combination automated and remote accessible broadcast capability from scratch, from stuff that was laying around. That's what people can do. That's what People's Community Radio can do. And it kind of gives you an idea of the kind of power that people can have when they decide to get together and make something happen. I hope to have Arun on the line in just a moment. Arun Gupta, founding editor of The Independent magazine and a founding editor of Occupy Wall Street Journal, a writer for The Guardian and other major publications. And we are going to talk about socialism, and we are going to talk about the economic impacts of the pandemic. And while I'm waiting for that to happen, I want to tell you that the Senate has passed a $2.2 trillion bailout package. And so now the bill goes to the House of Representatives. As you know from watching the little cartoon on Saturday mornings, I'm showing my age there. It's just a bill, and it has to go to the Senate. There has to be some reconciliation. Everybody agrees, goes to the president. He has to sign it. And so we will see if this happens. Four senators were absent at the vote due to the coronavirus, but the bill passed 96-0. Quoting Democracy Now!, the bailout package would massively expand unemployment benefits, providing laid-off workers with up to 100% of their salary and health insurance benefits for 4 months. Freelancers and gig economy workers would be eligible for unemployment benefits for the first time ever. Over $300 billion would go to direct cash payments to most Americans, with one-time checks of $1,200 for adults and $500 per child. States and municipalities would receive $150 billion in direct aid. Companies would receive $221 billion in tax benefits. $117 billion would fund hospital and veterans health care. And a $500 billion fund would provide loans and loan guarantees for corporations, end quote. And if you're wondering, yeah, Bernie signed the bill and then complained about it. There have been 366 deaths in New York now, where the hospitals are overwhelmed to the point of hiring additional refrigeration trucks for bodies. Nearly 500,000 have died worldwide, with over 1,000 dead in the U.S. from COVID-19, from the coronavirus, and 10 are dead in Oregon. So this is a sad time and a stressful and a time full of grief. And I want to express my sympathy to you and my solidarity to you. And I want to check with the engineer now and see if we have Arun Gupta on the air.
Not quite yet. I'm attempting to get Arun on the line. So Okay. Do that host thing and keep vamping.
All right, now we'll just do more hosting and keep vamping. As you say, Radio Havana, Cuba reports top diplomats and officials from all around the world are increasingly urging the United States to remove its unilateral sanctions against Iran amid the country's battle against the novel coronavirus. The United Nations leadership has called for rolling back international sanctions regimes around the world, including the ones against Iran, amid an outbreak of the COVID-19 virus. Secretary Antonio Guterres said the sanctions are heightening the health risks for millions of people and weakening the global effort to contain the spread of the new coronavirus. Quoting Guterres, I am encouraging the waiving of sanctions imposed on countries to ensure access to food, essential health supplies, and COVID-19 medical support. This is the time for solidarity, not exclusion. Let us remember that we are only as strong as the weakest health system in our interconnected world, end quote. And of course, that was directed at Trump. Russian foreign minister, Radio Havana writes, Sergey Lavrov has also reiterated his calls for the removal of U.S. bans against Iran in a Tuesday phone conversation with his Iranian counterpart, Mohammad Javad Zarif. During the talks, Lavrov pointed out that Russia continues to urge Washington to immediately lift its inhumane sanctions that prevent the government of Iran from combating COVID-19. Earlier in the day, the United Nations rights chief said any sanctions imposed on Iran, among other countries grappling with the coronavirus pandemic, should be urgently reevaluated to support the lives of millions of people worldwide. Michelle Bachelet said in a statement, quote, at this crucial time, both for global public health reasons And to support the rights and lives of millions of people in these countries, sectoral sanctions should be eased or suspended, end quote. Back on Sunday, Pakistan's Prime Minister Imran Khan urged U.S. President Donald Trump to lift unilateral sanctions that his administration has imposed on Iran, as Tehran is engaged in a diligent fight against the ongoing pandemic of the new deadly new coronavirus known as COVID-19. As more and more countries press Washington and stress the evident necessity of lifting inhumane sanctions in the wake of the coronavirus outbreak, rumors have begun to circulate that the U.S. Treasury will temporarily lift some of its sanctions against Iran. An unconfirmed report says that the U.S. Treasury is to release within the next 24 hours a list of anti-Iran sanctions, which will be suspended to show what is described as Washington's determination to help Iran's battle against COVID-19. In Iran, the number of coronavirus deaths has increased to nearly 2,000 and the total infections to 25,000 over the past 24 hours, according to health ministry figures. They write, there have been 122 new deaths and 1,762 new infections since Sunday, end quote, and that is from the Iranian Health Ministry spokesman, Kianash Jahanpour. So this is Press Watch, and I am wanting to talk with you about your experience of the pandemic, your experience of the quarantine situations, isolating yourself at home as I am, and we can have some call-ins on that.
And you can also take the call from your guest. Arun Gupta is on the line, so go ahead and just say
hello. Oh, Arun Gupta is here. Okay, once again, Arun Gupta, a founding editor of Independent Magazine and of Occupy Wall Street Journal, a writer for The Guardian and other major publications, and one of my favorites, writers on this and many other topics. Arun, welcome back to KBOO.
Good to be with you, Teresa.
I'm so glad that you could call in. Well, there's so much to talk about, and but generally I was hoping to talk about the economic impacts of what is going on, the impact on people's minds of what is happening and how people are looking at the world differently. And have you had a chance to look at the proposed pandemic bailout package?
I mean, I've looked at what has been reported. I haven't looked at the news in the last few hours. To my knowledge, the final bill hadn't been circulating yet, but it was hugely problematic, to say the least. You know, there are some aspects that you know, look to have some necessary functions, and I'm choosing my words carefully because I don't know exactly what's in it, but you know what we have been hearing is a $1,200 one-time payment, which to me sounds like a landlord transfer payment. You know,
that's how it would work out, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, there should really, I mean, at this point, even though I was I was skeptical of universal basic income, I think that's basically the point where we're at now. The situation changed, and so, you know, like people like Bernie Sanders were calling for, I don't know if it was every adult or every household to be getting $2,000 minimum a month. You know, some of the unemployment insurance stuff might be decent. There were four Republican senators who were trying to hold the bill up over that, and you know, Bernie gave this great speech on the Senate floor about, you know, how they were outraged that people making $10-$12 an hour might get a few hundred dollars more a week than they normally would. Sarah Nelson, the head of the flight attendants union, who has kind of become a hero on the left after she called for a general strike during the government shutdown last year. You know, she says this is not an airline bailout. You know, the airlines are getting something like $50 billion, and this is after they used $45 billion on stock buybacks in the recent years. She says, you know, this is going to go to paying the workers, but there appear to be just many other incredibly problematic aspects to the bill. You know, for one, like bailing out the cruise line industry, an industry that is not even based in the U.S. They've evaded U.S. law for years, flagging their ships in other countries precisely to avoid paying taxes. There's a provision to funnel something like $17 billion to Boeing, a company that, in my opinion, has committed mass murder. I've followed the controversy over the MAX 737 a bit, and they completely lied. They completely used, you know, a bankrupt regulatory system to put this product on the market that had these deadly flaws in it and killed two plane loads of passengers. And so yet they're going to get $17 billion. You know, there's some absurd stuff like for-profit colleges are going to be able to keep money from students who loan, who can no longer attend because of the pandemic. So I think in a lot of ways, you know, it looks like this bill is going to pass, but it seems to me what's going on, and especially where we see now the stock market is up for a third day in a row, you know, that the political class in Washington cares more about the health of the stock market than they do about the health of tens of millions of Americans.
I think that's very clear.
What's that?
I think that is very clear, yes.
Yeah. I mean, you know, but it's beyond that, of course. I mean, the Republican Party, which I think certainly since the Reagan era has been a death cult, it's now become a suicide cult. You know, this whole, like, you know, grandma must die for the stock market that we're seeing, is they're saying it openly. And, you know, I think it's important to recognize that this isn't just coming from Trump. He had that tweet a few days ago, you know, where he's like, you know, the cure can't be worse than the problem, and talking about trying to open the country back up on Easter. I mean, this is just beyond farce, right? You know, he's now the new God who's going to resurrect America on Easter Sunday. And,
yes,
of course, that would absolutely lead the pandemic to explode. And, you know, the fact that you can't have, like, this patchwork of closures, you know, where, like, a lot of states have not shut down. For instance, New Orleans looks like it's going to be a new epicenter of the outbreak because of Mardi Gras. And so this is going to continue and get worse. And at the same time, it's just absolutely appalling. You know, this administration is committing mass murder. That's not hyperbole. That is actually what's going on, especially in my city, New York. Now, I left New York.
Are you in New York?
No, I left weeks ago because I had a suspicion things were going to get really bad there. You know, and so I'm not in the city. I'm staying with friends, and I'm safe. You know, we're self-isolating, and went out and got months of food. We're actually going to try that we don't even have to go to a grocery store maybe more than once a month. And
that's good thinking,
you know,
I think.
What's that?
That is good thinking under the circumstances, I do believe. Well, I've been stunned, as a lot of people have, by the swiftness and the size of the bailout packages, for example, for the banks. And I want to point out to people who are saying, oh, it's only a loan. Actually, no, it's a giveaway. When you give $1 trillion to a bank on low or no interest, the bank can then and will loan it out at interest, even if it's a lower interest. And it is effectively a giveaway of billions of dollars to people who are already insanely rich. But do go on.
Yeah, it's free money, in effect. You know, and the thing is, we're also in a situation where, like, there was generally, you know, U.S. Treasury notes are very, the interest on them is very low. And that's because, you know, the reality is, and I think a lot of leftists don't get it, or frankly don't want to get this through their thick head, is that U.S. bonds are the most secure bonds in the world. The U.S. has never defaulted on any debt in well over 200 years. It's also the largest and most liquid market, which is what keeps the interest rate so low. And the reason I bring that up is because the U.S. government could be issuing like 50, you know, this proposal has already been put out to issue 50 and 100 year bonds at 1% interest rate that are in effect free money for the people and be able to fund all sorts of things. Robert Kuttner, the editor of American Prospect, had an editorial, I believe, in the Washington Post recently, where he's just like, look, we're going to need to put people to work, and let's put them to work productively. It's just like, let's fund the Green New Deal. This is trillions of dollars in infrastructure. There's the need, both economically and the need socially and ecologically, to do this, you know. And it's just like the just absolute bitter irony is the person who exactly at this moment is best capable of leading this country out of the mess is the one that the Democratic Party ganged up to destroy, Bernie Sanders.
Well, let me do a little housekeeping here and check with you, Arun. I have an hour this week. Are you able to be here for the hour?
No. I can do like 10 more minutes.
Okay. Then I will tell listeners that I will take your calls starting at the bottom of the hour because I want to pick Arun's brain over this. Excuse me, Arun. I actually am drugged. Let me explain what my situation is, because I think it's the same situation as a lot of people. With hospitals filling up and surgeries canceled, I have been triaged out. And triage, I noticed on Google Trends, is a word that's really spiking right now as people are looking it up and trying to figure out what just happened to them. What happened is that the hospitals are filling up with people who are at immediate threat of death. And so the logical and the ethical thing to do now is to cancel everything that is not on that edge. And I am not on the edge of death. I have an infection with a nasty bacillus that looks like a combination between a rod and a squid. And it infects my kidneys and creates struvite stones in there. And so I was lucky talking with my doctor about the pandemic situation. I was able at the last minute to get a stent put in. And he said, well, the longest we can leave this in is 30 days, but that'll be okay because we're going to take it out on April 6th. And I was talking to him at the time, and this was like a week ago, saying, I don't think that's going to happen either. Well, it isn't. I know for sure now. And I did finally get a call back from urology department, or what's left of them, after they've been dispersed to handle this crisis. And they are talking differently now. They're saying, well, we think you can survive for 3 or 4 months this way. And what it really means is when I'm at the point of death, then I will be, you know, at the same situation as everyone else, crowding into the hospitals. And this also means for you, for everyone who has a condition that needs surgical intervention, you're just going to have to get in line, and it's a huge, huge line. And so this is something that is affecting people across the world right now. So I'm not going to complain, but it's kind of scary. And there's a lot of grief going around. People are trying to deal with that. And when they see these politicians saving the rich, and for example, Donald Trump slow walking aides in New York saying, oh, well, Governor Cuomo's got to kiss his butt before he will allow enough ventilators to go to New York, where the hospitals are already a horrible chaos, and where trailers are being brought in to refrigerate the dead. You can see just how ugly our rulers are, and you can see that they are rulers, in fact, and that they do not respond to the needs of the people. They respond to the needs of the class that supports them, which is the owning class. And so people, I think, are talking, well, I can see also on Google Trends that the word socialism is trending, and people are talking about rent strike. They're talking about general strike. And I'm just glad to have Arun Gupta, journalist, writer for The Guardian, here on KBOO Portland. You are listening to Press Watch on KBOO Portland. And what do you have to say about that, Arun?
Well, you know, I think it's important that, you know, what I already said is this is simply mass murder. I don't think it's any different than lining civilians up and shooting them and murdering them in cold blood by the thousands. You know, Cuomo's been saying they're going to need 30,000 and ventilators. They're expecting. There's 53,000 beds, hospital beds. They think they're going to need an extra 140,000 hospital beds. They're building essentially one hospital in four parts in the Jacob Javits Convention Center with 1,000 beds. You know, hospitals are being instructed to increase their supply of beds by 50%. But the most salient point is, you know, we know that Trump has completely lied, completely downplayed the pandemic, said it was a hoax. And I know a lot of people are like, oh, he said, the, you know, the Democratic Party response was a hoax. No, he was saying the virus itself was a hoax because people were saying this is serious. You need to take it serious. And he was saying that's what the hoax was. So he was saying that the virus was a hoax. So, you know, let's quit with this BS that we're hearing. You know, he said it would disappear like a miracle, the cases are going down and they're going to be at zero. The U.S. had its first case the exact same day as South Korea, and South Korea has been able to pretty much successfully contain it. That doesn't mean that they won't be susceptible to a second wave, but they use basically contact tracing and containing clusters, and also very quickly instituted, you know, national policy on how to deal with it. And they have a single-payer healthcare system and have been able to get it under control, whereas right now, if you look at I believe they're making some of their content free. Financial Times is doing a lot of data tracking that's incredibly useful. Right now, the New York City has the steepest death rate in the world, more than any other city. You know, and it's
I'm just, so sorry. I mean, that must make you feel terrible.
What?
That must make you feel terrible as a New Yorker, and I'm just expressing my sympathy.
Yeah, no, thank you. I mean, I have never been scared for a city before, and I'm scared for, you know, my hometown, which I absolutely love, New York City, and all the people who I cherish who live there. You know, fortunately, I had options, and also I've, as someone who's lived through, you know, 9/11, I watched on my rooftop people jumping from the Twin Towers on 9/11. You know, I've lived through riots, I've lived through wars. Also, you know, I had a sense this was coming over a month ago. So I started making plans, and I also have lots of friends, so I could, you know, get out of the city. But this, you know, there's, I'll tell you one story that just struck me that I read in the New York Times from Elmhurst, Queens. And, you know, Queens is an amazing place. It's the most diverse borough area in the world. It's over 2 million people. By itself, it would be the fourth largest U.S. city. It's over 50% immigrants. And, you know, the social distancing there is virtually impossible for many people, you know, whether is it because they have jobs they still have to go to, or it's just the crowding, right? You know, here's another way to explain it. The densest inhabited area in the U.S., number one is Manhattan, number two is Queens, number three is Brooklyn, number four is Bronx, and then you get to number five, which is Chicago, right? So the four most densely inhabited areas in the U.S. are all basically what make up New York City. And so Queens is over 50% immigrant, you know, and it's just as amazing place of so many different cultures, and it is ground zero of the ground zero of New York City. And I was reading a story about Elmhurst Hospital, you know, which served this, a lot of the low-income population, heavily immigrants. And it starts out with this doctor who, you know, essentially received like a code red three times in one day. And she had to do chest compressions on an 80-year-old, a 60-year-old, and a 38-year-old. And all three of them died, including the 38-year-old. And that,
oh my God!
And that really, and they 13 people died in one day in Elmhurst Hospital. They're completely overrun. You know that it's so bad that patients are dying in their beds, and doctors are finding them dead in their beds because they're so overwhelmed. They're off dealing with other patients. And yet the wave has not hit. We know that the wave doesn't hit for at least a couple of weeks. And everything is just absolutely botched, right? We still don't have proper testing kits. The testing is actually getting worse, not better. Weeks ago, the test could be returned the same day. Then it's 2 days. Now it's 4 days. Now it takes up to a week to get test results back, and that means that you have to keep those patients isolated for a week in rooms where they'd normally be multiple patients. So we see the healthcare system is already breaking down, and the U.S. certainly could have been manufacturing ventilators. You know, the idea that, you know, this is somehow so difficult, and we also have to remember that's not just Trump. The U.S. Chamber of Commerce has been leading the charge against the use of the Defense Production Act, that Korea-era law, because they basically don't want the state intervening in decisions about the economy, but at the same time they want these massive government handouts. And so, I mean, honestly, you know, I have a feeling like, this ruling class needs, you know, we need to roll out the guillotine.
I couldn't agree more. And I used a picture of a faux guillotine on the Facebook page promoting this. Well, now I guess you must be pretty close to out of time. So what would be your final comments on this before we go to callers?
My final comment is because of something I've been disturbed by, that people are not practicing proper social distancing. We live in a culture of cheating. You know, people cheat on their diet, they cheat on their taxes, you know, they cheat at school, you know, even if it's just like, you know, you're watching videos instead of listening to the lecture. You know, we do the same at work, you know, we're chatting with friends. And so I've just been hearing a lot of anecdotal stories about, like, people are like, oh, you know, I can see this one friend, or I can go to the, you know, grocery store every couple of days. And it's just like, stop it. You don't get it. You can't play around with science, okay? And every time you reestablish a social connection, you're basically reestablishing that transmission network. And it doesn't matter if you're good 95% of the time and you cheat a literal here or there. You cannot do that. And so, you know, the other thing is, I think I know a lot of people are, you know, very concerned. What can I do? There's all these mutual aid groups that have been set up, you know, that I've been invited to join, including one in Portland because I spend time there. And, you know, I just hope that people are extremely conscious about practicing 100% good hygiene and safety, right? You know, if you're going shopping for elderly people, that you're using no contact deliveries, that you're wiping everything down. All packages need to be wiped down carefully, you know, and people need to be, you're not going into anyone's houses, because it can totally undo. And there's epidemiologists out there who are yelling that, you know, these small things that people are doing basically completely undermines it. The small cheat is like if there was no self-isolation going on. And so, you know, we have to act in the social good. And I think it's something that Americans are not used to, including the vast majority of people on the left, frankly. So, you know, stop seeing people outside of your household, anyone at all, if you know, you don't have a critical job.
All right. Well, thank you very much for calling in and sharing your opinion and your information. Arun Gupta, journalist, celebrated journalist, and you're listening to KBOO Portland. Thank you, Arun.
Thank you, Teresa.
Okay, well, bye-bye. So we are still on the air then and ready for your calls. The number to call is 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. And once again, I want to thank the KBOO staff for creating our improvised automated and remote broadcast system. I'm so proud of that. I've looked at community radio stations around the country, and generally speaking, we are at the cutting edge here, and we are keeping going, and we are serving the community in the way that we feel is appropriate, and that has been facilitated by this fantastic work by the KBOO staff. So I have questions for you. What do you think about the economic situation? Have you had to work? Have you lost your job? Are you in touch with someone who's been hospitalized? Number to call, 503-231-8187. Did you lose
and
your
Teresa,
job?
And, Teresa, you have a caller on the line. You've got Brian.
All right. Do you have rent problems? Right now, I would estimate about one quarter of the sirens that you're hearing, at least, are COVID victims being brought to the hospital. And hello, Brian, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi. I have a question or a comment to make about food. Something that did come down the pike early on that I was a little afraid of was I was afraid of how it was going to impact farmers' markets. I myself am a farmer, and I don't sell at market right now, but of course I'm in that world. And so, but even I initially heard that they would probably shut down farmers markets and accepted that as okay, that's just something that I guess that has to happen. But I found myself at a store, inside of a store, this was like a week ago, buying groceries and accepting that this was a risk I had to take, came out, got in my vehicle, and I saw that they had a market outdoors, and I thought, man, I'm not going to go over there because that seems like, you know, a lot of close proximity. But later on, I realized I was willing to accept going into a store, being in an enclosed space around people, yet I looked at a market outdoors and thought maybe I shouldn't do that. It was kind of reverse backwards thinking. So now I found out that they have encouraged markets to stay open with some provisions. I just wanted to know your take on farmers markets. I think that they have a shorter supply chain. They have fewer people touching your food. And then if they can make a space at a market, that's a better option, actually, than an inside store. What do you think?
Well, I think it's the same attitude that I would take to all local businesses. If they can stay open and if there's a safe way to get those needed goods, then more power to them. And I hope that they continue. Certainly, it's cheering to see a farmer's market in operation. It's a sign of normalcy, and we need more of those right now.
Yeah, and I was thinking it would be great if we could work out a way of maybe allowing some of the markets that are in close, tight confines, maybe businesses or schools that are now not being operated could open their parking lots, or, you know, to allow markets to spread out in this time. And, you know, it seems like that would be a really good benefit. I don't know how to get that kind of rolling, but that seemed like an idea to me, to make markets even more attractive to people and see that they have a benefit even over enclosed indoor grocery stores.
Sure. Well, let me ask you, are you in touch with anyone who has been hospitalized? How have you been affected by this?
Well, I'm actually in a really great position because I live a little out of town on 10 acres of farm land. And so I kind of stocked up on stuff, and I'm trying to minimize my my exposure. I had a really strange situation where I think we're all being confronted with strange situations where a friend asked if they could get a ride somewhere, and I we talked it over, and I said, this is new to me. I don't know exactly how to respond, but I don't necessarily feel like being enclosed in the cab of a truck with somebody else right now, and it felt so odd. We worked it out, but I bet people are going to be confronting situations like that where it's all of a sudden, how careful do I need to be? Am I being a hypochondriac, or am I just being safe? You know, my tendency is to use precautionary principle and think about, well, if I look back on it and say, well, that was a stupid move, maybe I shouldn't do it.
Well, better embarrassed than infected, I suppose.
Yeah, but it does make you feel funny. They were understanding, though, and they found a way to do it. We found a way to get them to where they needed to be safely. But anyway, yeah, the thing about the market, I just want people to be aware of, you know, watch out for these things that might seem like a good thing on the surface, like, you know, closing a market. Then when you think about it, wait a second, you know, it's not obvious that a grocery store is more safe than a market. In fact, I would say outdoors has the edge. So there's that. Thank you for this show, and I'm thinking about you and sending a lot of positive energy. I'm really sorry to hear that you're having to deal with this medical thing in this way.
Well, that's true for so many people, and I appreciate your sympathy. Thank you very much. Thanks for calling in.
Please be well and take care. Bye.
Okay, the number to call, 503-231-8187. I want to know, have you lost your job? Are you worried about rents? What do you think about the rent strikes? I mean, we have a moratorium on evictions, but obviously the economy is in terrible condition. This is supposed to be the biggest shock, and some writers are predicting the greatest depression as a result of this. We don't know that. It could be that there would be a rapid recovery, and certainly the prospect of passing the stimulus bill at this point, the bailout, as they're calling it, will help and is a sign that people are thinking differently. And that's kind of what this show is about, thinking differently, thinking about socialism, because obviously people, one of the things that is making the pandemic worse is the fact that people are afraid to spend the money to go to the doctor to have their symptoms checked. And that brings up another thing, just how monstrous this government is. We have Stephen Miller in power and with the ear of the president, by all accounts. He is a wretched racist and keeps company with, population decline enthusiasts. Another way of looking at them is they are exterminationists. So they talk about excess population. They talk about the people in the population who are not contributing towards the wealth of the big capitalists. And I think that it is probably, it will take a while to do the work to get the specifics to find out just how much or how little has been done in this direction. But I think probably the slow walking of the testing, the refusal of the WHO test kits, and several other gestures coming out of the Trump administration are actually reflective of an attitude or perhaps an actual written, agreed-upon agenda to slow walk COVID response in order to kill the elderly, to kill the poor, and as Greg Palast has been pointing out, perhaps to kill American blacks. Number to call with your comments and questions, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187.
And Teresa, just to let you know, you do have a caller on the air. You got Dave.
Okay, Dave, you are on the air.
Hi. All right. Hi. I want to object to the phrase American blacks.
All right.
Just putting that out there and pushing it away.
Yeah, that was clumsy on my part, so yeah, I agree.
But indeed, the idea that this is going to benefit the wealthy, and I don't want to get all conspiratorial, but it does seem strange that suddenly $2 trillion is available that wasn't available 6 months ago in the winter time when the homeless people were being homeless.
Yes, I mean, that was, it's huge and it's rapid, and it kind of shows where the power is and who's important, I think.
All right. I guess that's all I got.
Okay. Well, to the coronavirus, Greg Palast has written, you hear from every poll and pundit, by the way, this was on gregpalast.com, the coronavirus does not distinguish between black and white, rich and poor, Republican or Democrat. And then he says, that's just BS. The virus is one highly partisan little bug and a racist. He says, call it Corona Crow. He writes, the virus attacks the vulnerable. And in our society, vulnerable does not refer to billionaire reality show hosts. And he has a chart from the Centers for Disease Control based on studies using the Public Health Disparities Geocoding Project. Influenza hospitalization rates for impoverished African Americans are 3 times the rate compared to non-poor whites. So I'll say that again. Influenza hospitalization rates for impoverished African Americans are 3 times the rate compared to non-poor whites. And he goes on in this article to say the bug really, really likes Donald Trump. We have no choice. We're all going to have to vote by mail or duck. But going postal will all but guarantee Trump's re-election. So Greg Palast is pointing out that because society is unequal, because black people suffer oppression, then the oppression of the pandemic is therefore magnified as everything else is. And again, you can call in with your comments and questions, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. Want to know, have you lost your job? How are you going to deal with rent if that's a situation for you? Are you concerned about your elderly family and friends? The graph right now of the infection rates across the world is not just exponential, but hockey stick. It is just jumping towards the top of the y-axis on the graph. And right now, if I pull up John Hopkins' tracking system for coronavirus COVID-19 global cases by the Center for Systems Science and Engineering at Johns Hopkins, they have total confirmed 492,000 and change. And at the rate it's going up, I'd say it will likely break 500,000 today with 22,000 deaths. Quite the crisis. And as Arun was saying, it's just getting started in the United States, just getting started in New York, and already it's a terrific crisis at the hospitals. I want to know what's happening in your life with the COVID virus and how you are responding. 503-231-8187. KBOO Portland is here for you. And
hey,
Teresa, we're keeping running, and we're still taking calls. And yes,
we're definitely taking calls, and we had a caller call in, Alice. She just wanted to let you know and your listeners know that the Beaverton Farmers Market apparently has a drive-through feature so you can pick up your groceries. She doesn't know all the details about it and is actually hoping that maybe one of your listeners or maybe you know some more details about that, or possibly if there's other farmers markets out there that are doing something similar.
Okay, and I think that's pretty important in terms of keeping our cash and our money flow locally going. So no, I certainly don't know more about it, but maybe you do. The number to call, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. I want to quote World Socialist website saying the entire ruling class and its state are responsible for the chaotic response to the spread of the virus. And speaking for myself, that's falls in with the slow walking that I was talking about. Slow walking is deadly, and it's been deadly in many ways, but slowing the recognition, the testing, but also just slowing the political, it's been so important, the political recognition that a disaster is coming, has meant that the social distancing that we are now participating in has come very, very late. And what that means is that, for example, last weekend, people were at the coast mingling, and don't think just of the photographs of people at the coast trying to keep distance from each other. They all went to the same gas stations. They all went to the same hotels. The virus was spread hugely. It was brought to the coast, which simply does not have the infrastructure of the cities, in a huge way, and they were resentful of it. They knew that they were being killed. And so right now we have dead people walking, in the sense that there are some of us are going to die. And many more of us are going to die than would have if we had had a responsible government, frankly, if we did not have these fool MAGA enthusiasts in power at the top, echoing their power throughout all of the states and the regions, with people actively scoffing, and even influencers going out and licking toilets and licking the poles on the subway and things like that, just to show how defiant they were and how obedient and how enthusiastic they were about the foolishness that Donald Trump was putting out.
Hey, Teresa, you got a couple callers on the line. First, you got Linda, who is on hold, and then you got Harry. So just let me know when you want me to pot him up.
All right. Thanks once again to the engineer. So, yes, let's go to the next caller. Number to call, 503-231-8187. And let's see. I'm sorry,
Linda.
I already forgot the name. Linda is on the air. Okay.
Morning.
Hello, Linda,
Teresa.
Good morning.
Hi. Thanks for the show. I wanted to talk about people in my circumstance, which is I'm retired officially. I'm 70 years old, and I live on my Social Security, which is very small, less than half of what my rent costs me, and distributions from retirement funds that have been hit by at least two major downturns like this in the past, .com, yes. And before that, and then after that, the bubble that came after the real estate thing. So they were lessened and lessened to begin with, and now would not last me my life anyway before the coronavirus. But I haven't looked at them to see how far down they've gone. But what I know is if I had $50 and now I only have five, same number,
yep,
of shares of in the indexes, if I sell that five, I have nothing. And so there needs to be some protection for retirees who are, we make up a huge percentage of the population and people hoping to get into it. All those people with 401ks that are about to retire, they just lost most of their money and will not regain it for 10 years or more if they stay in the market without using any of that money.
That's exactly
and
the sort of thing
just
that
really
making people call
and
it
people,
the greatest depression.
Yeah, and regular people have their money in 401ks and retirement funds because that's the only systems they provided for us in order to save it and in order to have your employee put in any. And so we didn't have really any choices. I didn't have a choice. Could I have a pension? I didn't have, you know, we didn't have other choices. And yet we're caught in this too. And I think we're a huge, huge section of the population. And I'm worried for myself and I'm worried for others. And I don't know for sure, but it sounds like that $1,200 payment may come to us. It says every adult, but that's not enough to pay my rent either, to be honest.
It's not
so
enough, and I'm so glad that you commented on that, Linda. And by the way, thank you for being on the air earlier. I want to comment that people should be in contact with each other. We can't afford to be embarrassed about our circumstances right now. It may not be happening right this moment, but if you need food, if you need supplies, you need to make sure other people know about it. And we can't be surprising each other with this sort of thing. Some people aren't able to stay in contact, but most of us are in contact in one way or another. You need to let your friends know, your family know, one way or another, what your situation is. Because
in
things are changing.
So people can understand each other's stress and understand why they may be being silent, but they seem to freak out now and then, you know, because
yes,
we're all just trying to hold on to figure out what steps we'll be able to take next.
Yes. Well, we're all processing stress, anxiety, and also I think grief, not just grief for the, you know, our ability to get out and get around, you know, at least that's temporary, but anticipatory grief, grief for people who we know are going to pass and for the change in the society that we know is coming.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you on that. I think there's a lot of grief out there. And something has changed fundamentally, and there will be some interesting and exciting things that come out of using the technology in new ways. But it won't be a better society unless we can somehow force it.
Right on.
You know.
Well, let's.
All right, thank you.
Socialism
thanks
now. Thank you. Thank you, Linda. And I think Harriet is next. Number to call, 503-231-8187. Hello, Harriet. You're on the air.
Greetings, Teresa. I was wondering, I'm trying to figure out how the government can do a $2 trillion bailout plan and the IMF not say anything at all. I mean, the idea that we can print money, we're not really printing money, this is all electronic. It's not like we had to print the $2 million and send them by railroad cars. I mean, this is all electronic, so I guess the government can do this. What about the IMF? Do you think they'll say something about, hey, you can't do this?
Well, I think, you know, I don't know what the IMF will do, but I do see that the pandemic is exposing the attitudes and the actions of big, excuse me, financial organs like this, like the Fed. And as you're saying, they, you know, they immediately were able to come up with these trillions. And to distribute them to the people that they think are important and in the way they think is important. And so it's been a bit of a shock. And I think that the World Trade Organization, the IMF, are going to respond according to the way that they are pressured. And right now, structurally, they are pressured, of course, for the privileges of the very rich. I'm not expecting the best from them.
Oh, and the next about the virus, you heard that New Orleans is being hit really hard, and they were saying why New Orleans is going to be hit very hard is because of Mardi Gras. A lot of people were exposed at Mardi Gras, and of course,
yes.
if they came to celebrate from a different state, well, they probably brought it back with them.
Well, that's very true. All of the large gatherings, as I was saying, the slow walking of the response, Trump's desire to protect the stock market with silence and misinformation is having a deadly result. And these infections, this economic disruption and the deaths will become more apparent over the next month.
Yeah, and what happened last week was Pelosi sent a plan to the Senate. The Senate shelved it, and they came out with their own. So it was kind of like dissing Nancy Pelosi and the Congress. So, I mean, they have to see the bill, first of all, and then they can put whatever they want to and send it back to the Senate. So we're still, you know, 2-3 weeks off before the president even signs it.
Well, that's a sobering thought, isn't it?
Yes.
There's an article in NewYorkTimes.NewOrleans saying that they've got 1,800 cases as of Thursday morning, experiencing the fastest growth in new cases in the world. And as you say, that is probably accelerated by the Mardi Gras phenomenon, by the fact that at the time Mardi Gras was going on, I mean, the information was there. I know because I had a virologist here on KBOO, Ed Henry Nyman, here on, and he spoke at length and very specifically and prophetically about what was happening on January 30th and again 2 weeks later. And, you know, and I want to say also about that, those people that, I'm trying to think of his name, but I can't think of the person who is most famous about this, powerful politicians who got a briefing and then sold their stocks. The briefing that they got did not come earlier and was not more specific than what you got right here on People's Community Radio, KBOO.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you very much for taking my call.
Thanks for calling in. We're getting towards the top of the hour now here, but I think we have time for another caller. I want to know what you've been experiencing, what you think might be a problem with rents. You know, people have, there has been a tremendous squatting outbreak, and I believe it was in Los Angeles, where several buildings were taken over by people who got together and decided, you know, the hell with being homeless, there are empty buildings over there, we're going in. And I think that's a tremendous thing because it is a break from obedience thinking, which is half of the problem. It's aggressive and oppressor thinking on the one side that causes that problem. Pardon me while I clear my throat. And it's obedience on the other side, the belief that you are somehow in a system that could benefit you. Most of the time it can't. And so people have taken those buildings. And what generally happens...
Hey, Teresa, I hate to interrupt you real quick, but I'm going to need you to wrap up within the next, like, 30 seconds or so. So I'm going to just give you the last 30 seconds there to give some last thoughts.
Okay, thank you for that. Well, then I'll conclude that thought by saying that it improves the condition and the value of the buildings, actually. So it's not as terrifying for landowners as it first seems to be. Squatting is happening because economic changes are happening. People are thinking about socialism, and I think that people should. And I thank you for listening. Now, had a little trouble with the system, with my personal sign-in, et cetera, and so you may have a little difficulty getting the podcast, but generally you will be able to get the Press Watch and other KBOO programs as podcasts on Apple, Stitcher, and other services, podcast services. So do that. And also, I think that we are not qualifying at KBOO right away for the handouts that everyone else is getting and even businesses are getting. So please keep, if you actually still have some money, very few of you do, please consider hitting us at kboo.fm and giving us a contribution right now, because we're trying to keep making it happen. And we're doing it for you because we are community radio. You've been listening to 90.7 FM in Cascadia and other frequencies. And we are going out to you via KBOO.FM to all the ships at sea.
You are tuned into KBOO Portland, also streaming online at kbo.fm. And that's right, you can find all of our archived episodes of Press Watch there on our website. Again, that's kbo.fm. Well, the time is almost 10:01. We got a couple seconds there. Coming up next is Flashpoints. We just want to remind everybody that Cable Community Radio